Happy Father's Day. And I agree. Let's give the worship team a hand to include those kids that got up this morning. Was that awesome or what? So first, before we get started, I want you to turn and I want you to look at somebody who's around you and I want you to say, Happy Father's Day. Find one of those dads around you. Happy Father's Day. I know, Pam, they're two rows away from you. You're still going to have to tell. You need to tell somebody Happy Father's Day. What a joy it is to come together today. So here we are. We think about it. We've been spending the first half of this year working through the Gospel of John. We've been doing that for a beautiful picture because he tells us in his word that in believing in Jesus Christ, that's the purpose of that gospel, to believe in him who God sent that we can enjoy life in his name. And yet today, we're going to take a break from our series in John. We're going to take this break to give a focused attention towards fatherhood, which is part of enjoying life in his name. I mean, being a father is a joy. And so we're going to get right to it. And I want you to please turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We've got a long passage to go through, chapter 4, or verse 4 to verse 4. So if you're going to use the Bible in the chairs in front of you, it's on page 153 in the back section of the Bible. And if you keep going, I want you to use it, whether you're using the Bible that you've brought in for yourself, whether you're on your app, I want you to open God's Word, and we want to look at this. Now, I also recognize there is some risk this morning when we say we're only going to choose one verse. The risk is we have to look at it clearly to decide its meaning, because if we fail to seek to understand why that verse was placed right where it was, why God put it right there in this book, if we fail to understand what's around it, we can lose everything. So you see, Ephesians 6:4 falls right in the core of the portion of the letter detailing the commands regarding relationships, wives and husbands, children towards their parents, and then fathers towards your children. These relationships, now we also have to understand, they are only discussed after an in-depth look at our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, you can take the book of Ephesians and you can break it down. The first three chapters are a beautiful description of what it means to be in Christ, to have a relationship with our Savior. And then at chapter 4, it starts, it says, therefore. And that therefore is always there for a reason, because chapters 4 through 6 help us to understand how we are called to respond to those truths about who we are in Christ. And so in this one small verse, just the beauty is there's such great depth to help us as men, as fathers, to respond in our roles within our families. Therefore, this morning, we're going to take the time to talk about the father's role in God's plan for the family. So let's begin. It's a simple command. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, in the instruction of the Lord. Short and simple, right? So now let's consider two actions a father must take to love and raise his children. So let's hear it one more time. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, dads, that's our command. That's the first action that a father must take to love and raise his children, to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, this is not just about providing for our kids so that they can grow up until they're 18. We put a roof over their head. We provide them food for their bellies. They get to 18, and we send them out into the world. Fly, children. Fly and die, if that's the way we do it. You see, even the world acknowledges the need for someone to protect and provide for children while they're young so that they can grow and mature through their youth. But the world does not truly understand the importance of the father in his children's lives. You see, what sets a Christian father apart is when he follows God's commands, when he raises his children up in the Lord. You see, we don't raise our children up in the discipline instruction of athletics. Praise the Lord. I don't have to be an Olympian to be a faithful father. We don't raise our children up in the discipline and instruction of the STEM fields. Praise the Lord. I don't have to be a math genius to raise my children and be a faithful father. And you don't bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of our culture. Again, praise the Lord. I don't have to be on social media continuously monitoring the changes in our culture for the idea of how to be a good father. Now, of course, as parents, we do instruct our children in these areas, but we have to be focused and see that what is most central is that we raise them up in the Lord. God wants each of us to grow in our roles as fathers, but to learn, we also need to look at His Word, and we need to take time to unpack to what we've seen today. So let's start. You see, Paul starts with a simple one. He starts with a don't. Do not infuriate your children. Do not provoke your children to anger. Now, before you look at me and say, you got to be kidding me, are you telling me I'm supposed to ensure that my children are never angry? No, it's not what I'm telling you. That would ultimately be something that you cannot control. But God's command, fathers, it's for you in your role. Fathers, do not provoke. That's something that each of us can control, something that we can change with God's help, because it's focused on our actions and not the response of our children. So what does it mean to not provoke your children to anger? What does that look like? Well, think of it. Every one of us, every one of our children, and remember, every one of us, we're all born sinners. So somewhere deep down in our hearts is an ember, kind of like a small fire, maybe a little bit of anger, bitterness, resentment, that's there because why? We want what we want, and we didn't get it. It's those that are the kind of the flames that we watch for. It's like you've got a small campfire with just some small flames down on the bottom. So we're called not to provoke our children to anger. We're called not to throw gasoline on that fire. Because when you do, we all know what happens when we create that raging fire. Everybody gets burned. But maybe we don't get the explosion. But our provocation can still be like placing kindling on a fire, preparing it and setting a stage for something far greater to follow, as in a far greater fire, that is. So if we're adding kindling, fathers, well, again, just like in the campfire, that's on us. You see, when I show favoritism for one of my kids because they're more like me, they do the things that I like, and so I prefer and I show favoritism to them, well, I'm putting some dry sticks on the fire of some of my other children. What if my words are continuous criticism, verbally insulting my children, always pointing out their failures? Well, that's a big old dry log that I'm just putting on that fire right now. What about if I have excessive demands and impossible standards that I'm placing upon my children so they can meet my desires and make my home meet all of my needs so it's just like I want it to be? That's lighter fluid. Dads, when we look at our children, we have to remember we are responsible for our contribution to the problems in our home. And so, if I've stirred up and fanned the flames of anger or resentment in my child, my first response is not to seek to change or to control my child. My first response is I need to repent. I need to repent of where I've contributed through provocation. And then I need to go to my wife and to my children and ask their forgiveness for how I have contributed and provoked them. And then I need to take steps to commit to change, to walk in the way the Lord commands me to. Fathers, do not provoke your children. If you want to explore this further, I want to point you to a book by Lou Priolo called The Heart of Anger. This book was written beautifully to help us understand and help our children when they are having issues with anger. But when you open the book to chapter 1, you're going to find the first issue that Mr. Priolo walks through is our role in parenting. In fact, he goes so far as to put a list of 25 ways that parents provoke their children to anger. So these are just a few examples of what's on that list. When we establish a child-centered home instead of a Christ-centered home. When we model sinful anger in ourselves for our children to follow. When we fail to admit that we are wrong. Yes, we are wrong sometimes. And when we are inconsistent with our discipline, responding to our feelings rather than choosing to act based upon God's truth. You see, Paul said it again in Colossians 3:21 when he wrote, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke your children." It's a command. We're called to not do so. But it's not just an issue of controlling the fire in your heart, fire in our children's heart, but it's we're also called not to crush their heart. Let me give you one example. If you identify that your words are critical, typically addressing what your son or daughter has not done right day to day, I would call you to first add praise and thanksgiving for who God has made your son or daughter to be. And then consider ways in which you can lovingly correct them instead of tearing them down with critical words. You see, men, that's your first application point for today. Your first step towards growth. Homework, if that's what we want to call it. Fathers, I want to challenge each and every one of us on this point. So when we go home, I want to challenge us to go and spend time, talk to your wives, and ask the question, what are the areas that I'm prone to provoking our children? And then spend time in prayer over that list. And seek over the next month to put small steps in the way of choosing to change our behavior as fathers to not provoke our children. Now, let's move on from the don'ts to the do. So let's look at what we're called to do as fathers. To bring them up, we are called to nurture. Wait a minute, that's mom's role, right? God creates moms to be the nurturers. Is it true? Well, they may find, you may think that you like the way they nurture, but here's the truth. God would not command you to bring them up. God would not command you to nurture your children if he wasn't going to equip you to be a nurturer. So what does it look like? Think of it like growing tomato plants in your backyard. Whether you start from a seed or small seedling plants, if you want to grow them and you want it to give you good fruit, good juicy tomatoes, you have to nurture those plants, and that's going to take some work. You start by giving them good soil. You have to pull the weeds, maybe add a little bit of fertilizer. Then as they grow, you want them to be strong, so you add a support structure to allow them to grow tall so that they can hold the fruit that they are going to bear one day. But you also want to protect them from the animals and things that will harm and steal that away. So you surround it with a fence, but not too small, because you also want to give them the freedom to be able to grow into what they're capable of. And you water it, and you wait. And then you weed it again. Maybe you prune it. And then you wait. Trusting that by the end of the summer, there will be good fruit. For the kids in the room, are you tomatoes? No, you're not tomatoes. But we still need to, fathers. It's our command. God's role for us is to nourish and bring them up. When God's command places this responsibility on us, we are responsible for the healthy growth of our children. And that's why it's so important that we understand what it means to bring them up in the Lord, according to His discipline and instruction. In the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it says. This is a privilege. It's a privilege, dads, to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord so that they may know God and His ways. You, fathers, are uniquely charged with this role and responsibility. So let's think about it. Let's think about the terms in here so that we can approach our responsibility correctly and wisely. So discipline. Discipline's the first term that we have to make sure we're clear on, because the world would tell us one definition of discipline. We need to look at how do we carry that out very clearly. Bringing our children up in the discipline of the Lord must not be limited to an idea of punishments for what we see as disobedience, but we have to start with a larger understanding of discipline. You see, when we think of it, we should think more about how we are teaching our children to do what's right rather than the consequences for what they've done wrong. As parents, we can easily be led to think that if something is unpleasant, if it's going to make my child unhappy, well, then I need to avoid that because it might make them cry. It might make them sad. But we have to be careful there. What's our heart in that kind of thinking when all we want is just to keep our children happy? Is it that I don't want to deal with a child who's sad? Is I don't want to deal with a child who's crying because of what it reflects back upon me? We have to think about what is our heart in disciplining our children. Let's look at what God says about discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Let's take a look in Hebrews 12. As it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons." My son, you see, we're seeing that relationship again. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there for whom a father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which you have all become partakers, if you are without discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline, yes, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. If we want that peaceful fruit of righteousness, we have to be willing to walk through the discipline. If we want that for our children, fathers, we have to be willing to walk through the discipline with them. Because notice what God says about discipline and instruction. It shows love. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Yet, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. So this is not about helping our children to always be happy. How much more do we desire the joy of Christ for our children? Also, I want you to see so clearly in here where discipline and instruction comes from. It's established within the relationship of father and son, parent and child. You see, I don't go out and discipline and instruct my neighbor's kids in this way. In fact, as a pastor, I don't even come and discipline and instruct your children in this way. We can see that this responsibility, it doesn't rest with school teachers, it doesn't rest with coaches, and it clearly doesn't rest with our children's friends. Fathers, I am responsible for the discipline and instruction of my children. And in fact, if I fail to provide that discipline and instruction, God's word would tell me that I do not love them. Now I get it. Providing discipline and instruction to my child is hard. It's a big commitment. It's one of the most loving things you can do for them, though. Think about it. I have to love and care about my child enough to take notice of what they're saying and doing and wanting. I have to value them enough to be concerned for their actions and where they may lead so that I can step in because I don't like where their choices are leading to. I have to value my relationship with them enough and at such a high priority that I would put aside my other responsibilities, that I would put aside my work, that I would put aside sports and TV, that I would put aside my ease and comfort to spend time disciplining and instructing my children. And the beauty of it is when I do that, I get to share the gospel with them. I get to do the most loving possible thing I could do. I get to pray that God would allow the instruction and discipline that I provide would take root in their heart so that they would be saved, so that they would love God all the days of their life, and that they would desire to obey Him from the heart and bring glory to Jesus. What more could I want for my children? Dads, is there anyone else in the world who would do that for your kids? No one. That's our joy and privilege. It's a joy and privilege to love our kids in this way. Now also, because we're working just on a single verse today, I also want to show you the wealth of what God's word has to say and how we are to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. As you look in your bulletins or as you look on your faith app and you're following along in the outline, you're going to see a lot of the scriptures that I'm going to refer to here, but I'm going to keep us moving forward as we see this. But we have to see the beauty of what God has us do in His word. First, He says to teach regularly about the glory of God, about His ways and the blessings of obedience. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 helps us to see that we are to teach them at all times. And then when we look in Exodus 20, and we see also right here in Ephesians 6, it shows that when our children respond, the teaching is for their good. We also see that we're called to model an example of Christ-likeness. Ephesians 5:1 starts, "Follow God's example," or in some translations, "be an imitator of God." This is the context for all of these relationships, and particularly the relationship we're talking about here. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Be a model of God the Father. From there, we're called to instruct about sinful behavior and why it's sinful, because of who God is and what He's done, and we're to illustrate and explain the negative consequences of sin, because God paints a very clear picture throughout Scripture of the destruction that follows our disobedience, which then allows us to give clear warnings for corrective discipline. And lastly, God's word says we are to be diligent to enforce physical discipline and other consequences. It's a consistent theme all through the Proverbs. We can't ignore how much emphasis that God places on the importance of a loving physical discipline, a training for nurturing and raising our children. You see, the rod is used often throughout Proverbs and throughout the history of God's people his interaction with his people, physical unpleasantness is often the means that God lovingly uses to discipline his people so that they might listen and heed his words. But physical discipline must. Okay, I want you to say this with me. Physical discipline must. Come on, say it. Must. It must always be done in love and with the good of our child at the forefront of our heart, not as a means to satisfy my sinful anger over my child's action. Physical discipline must be done with a heart of love and for our child's good. Then as parents, we also have to continue to learn and grow and change, because as our children mature and grow, they learn to obey and do what is right, and so our discipline and instruction has to change. We often use this chart as part of our counseling training, and this shows when a child is very young, they need much more physical discipline to help them clearly understand what is right and the way they should go. And we do that in a loving way for our child. But as they grow, as you continue to teach them in instruction, physical discipline would be less, and your instruction in the Lord that they understand God's word would continue to grow. And that's how we look to continue to change and grow as we bring them up in the Lord. If you want to grow in this area, I want to encourage you to consider watching our fall FCI schedule. When the parenting class is included in our fall FCI schedule, I mean, dads and moms, I want you to commit to being a part of that, that you would choose to grow in learning how God teaches us to parent our children so that we can love our children well. So as we walk through our God-given responsibilities, fathers, I know it can be an overwhelming task. It's not easy. But Dad, you're also not alone. You're not alone, as our Heavenly Father will never leave us alone. And the beauty of it is that He has promised to equip us for the job that He's given us. And so the second action that a father must take to love and raise his children is that we must trust the Lord and trust in the resources that He provides. God doesn't ask us to do something without empowering us. You see, parenting is tough, and sometimes it might feel like we're pounding our head against a concrete wall. But it's not like we're being asked to do something unreasonable, because God will provide the resources that we need. When God knows that you need a jackhammer, He'll provide for you everything that you need. This is the reason why Paul begins the first half of this letter in prayer and praise for God's work, reminding us that holy living, living our new life in Christ, is only possible when we are in Christ, united with our Savior, Jesus Christ, by faith, because then He will be the one to do the work in and through us. And so, fathers, I have to ask, do you love your children? If you do, there's only one response. Choose to love the Lord. That's what He's calling you to do. And in all of this, none of it can matter unless you've made a decision for Christ to love Him most. Every one of us has to acknowledge, and we see it in our own parenting. We see it as fathers. We fall short. Our anger, our sin in our lives, it breaks things down, and it breaks our relationship with God. We have to acknowledge that first, and we have to choose to understand and believe, just as we've been studying all this year, there's only one way. And it's Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father. And He's already done everything that we need. He died on the cross for our sin. Jesus, the Son, died on the cross that we fathers might be able to choose him so that he can equip us with everything we need to be fathers here in this world. That's the decision that we need to make. The reason why, if there's something holding you back, if there is anything holding you back from choosing Christ, it's going to hold you back from loving your children as well. So fathers, do not leave today without considering that decision. And if you have questions in this area, find one of the pastors, find one of us, and talk to us about it. There's nothing more important that you could do for your kids today. And fathers, if you have made that decision, then I want you to see the beauty of it, because you can know that God has given you all the resources you need to raise your children up. Because when we are in Christ, we're reconciled with God. Because Jesus reconciled you by his kindness for a purpose, to do good works and to glorify God. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." For what? For we are his workmanship. He created us for a purpose in Christ Jesus for good works. One of those works is our work as a father, which he prepared in advance so that we could walk in them. You see, Christian father, you were saved. You were saved so that you might bring glory to Jesus by raising your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is one of the works that he prepared in advance for you to do. So you can do it. And he will provide you all you need. He will be your children. Because do you think God knows how to deal with disobedient children? Do you think God knows how to bless, give rewards and good gifts? Do you think God knows how to instruct and model what we ought to do? And the beauty of it is that God gives us direct access to him, to his wisdom, to his teaching, his character, his goals and desires. He gives us direct access through prayer and through his word. And so when we ask questions like, what does loving my children look like when they sin? Well, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. What does it look like to forgive my children? As God in Christ forgave each one of us. What does it look like to provide for my family? As Christ, who was rich, for your sake became poor, that you might become rich. He's given us the model to be able to walk in. Everything that we apply in our parenting is shaped by our growing personal relationship with Christ. And based on that, we know that we have the resource that we might have peace with one another. You see, parenting is not a battle. Parenting is not a war to be won. When we are in Christ, we've already chosen to give everything. We've chosen to give up the idea that I have to win. Within our family, when you, dads, are in Christ, Jesus breaks down the barriers between sinful people. He unites them together, bringing peace so that we can grow and mature together. Again, in Ephesians 2, he said, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier and the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to you who were near. For through him, through Christ, we both have our access to the Spirit of the Father." And then the beauty of it is we teach and instruct our children in the Lord as they grow in their faith, our family Jesus brings even greater unity and peace within our relationships. And so in trusting God and in trusting Him for what we need, we can also trust in our walk that we will be strengthened by the Lord. We'll be strengthened through our identity. You see, knowing your identity strengthens you as a parent. Your identity grounds you to know who you are and your purpose as a parent. Your identity in Christ informs how you think and desire and act. Knowing and trusting in your identity in Christ means that I don't have to try to be what others tell me I need to be. I don't have to be the cool dad. I don't have to be the sports dad. I don't even have to compare myself against any other dads, even my own father. I only need to be what my Father in heaven tells me and calls me to be. You see, remembering our identity in Christ guards us against telling ourselves that we need to be something that we're not called to be. And so we can't let comparisons dictate. Don't let comparisons dictate how you perceive yourself and your relationship with the Lord, as it will discourage you from striving to glorify God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we're chasing something else, it will discourage us from being able to fulfill our God-given responsibility as a father. You see, parenting makes you desperate and humble. It reveals your sin, weaknesses, and foolishness in so many ways. And it's easy to be discouraged as fathers fulfilling your God-given responsibility. And that's why when we are in Christ, He makes us part of the body of Christ. And so here's another application, fathers, that I want you to take away. As we look to the new year and we say, how am I going to continue to commit to grow in this way? I want you to commit to coming to our Men of Faith series starting this fall. I want you to commit to meeting with others, whether that's in a point man group, meeting with other men in our church, or being part of a neighborhood Bible group so that we can grow and mature together. Men, I also want you to know, if the issues are deeper, we can also walk with you in biblical counseling. Counseling is not an indication of weakness. In fact, it's a sign of strength that you would reach out to God to grow based on your identity in Christ. And so we continue to study and we continue to walk, because through our identity in Christ, we are strengthened to be the father that God calls us to be. And we can take great hope to see that Paul is also praying that we will be strengthened through the Spirit's power. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you will know. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derived its name, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So as we get close to the end of the message today, you still might be saying, identity, peace, strength, that's great, but I do wish I had an instruction book for these kids. Well, the good news, you got one. Fathers, you have the resource of God's Word. Right at the core of our church's statement of faith is the truth that God's Word is sufficient for all things in our lives, including fatherhood. The discipline and instruction of the Lord includes teaching, that we might show our children how to live for God. Reproof, that we might point out to them sin based on God's Word, not based on my standards or my desires. Correction, to help our children repent and turn towards the Lord. And training in righteousness, that our sons and daughters might be adequate and equipped for every good work. What more could I want for my children this Father's Day? Dads, God's calling upon you. He's calling upon you. He's giving you a command. And today we need to decide, will we accept that command? Will we choose to bring our children up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord? Will you choose to trust God and trust Him for the resources to do this hard work of fatherhood? and God's calling you, and I want to challenge you today. Dads, I want to ask you right now, do you want to take that challenge? Do you want to take that commitment on? And if you do, I want you to stand with me right now. I want you to stand with me before our families and say, I am committed to God's commands. I am committed to living in the way that God is asking me to live as a father. Will you stand with me? Whether your children are already raised and you're committed to being with others, whether your children are sitting you right here, or if you're a young man in this room and you don't have kids yet and there's a potential you will be a father, are you willing to commit today that as you become a father, you will follow God's commands? Men, this is a beautiful sight, because this is God's call upon each and every one of us. And so now I want to take a moment and let me pray for you. Let me pray for our families. So families, as you see these men, I want you praying for them. They have a hard work to do, and they can only do it, number one, with God, but they need your help as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you today. I thank you for each one of these fathers and their commitment to your word. I thank you that you would give unto us the opportunity to come to you. Lord, that you've given us all we need so that we can walk in a way that is pleasing to you, to not provoke our children, to not allow our actions to drive the response of our children. Lord, I pray that you would help us and guide us so that we can raise our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Lord, that through that, your joy might fill our families because your Spirit is with us, that there's a peace in the home. And that peace comes because you are with us. And I pray for every child of every one of these fathers, Lord, that they would see a heavenly example. And Lord, that they too would choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, that they would choose them so that one day they too can walk in this way. Father, we thank you. We love you. And we praise your name on high. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.